today is December 2013. And of course we got New Year's Eve coming up on Tuesday and then New Year coming up on Wednesday 2014. It seems like I was just sitting in the classroom writing at the top of my paper December 18th, 1963. Anyway, that was a long time ago. Back, 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Well, I hope everybody made it through their Christmas holidays without any bruised egos or disappointments with your gifts. You can always take your gifts back if you don't like it. And I hope there wasn't too many fights in your family reunions. I hope there wasn't too many people left with their tails between their legs. And I hope that people that ate so much sugar and spice and everything nice that they made themselves too sick. So we have a selection. Okay. Mrs. Phillips wants to sing page 37, 12, 37, 6. You all don't know it, but I'm sitting here, and I can tell you, anytime the Psalms are selected, it's usually Rosette selected. She rarely ever selects anything out of him. Okay.
A little breath of life, she said, is more and better far than great understanding. The Lord that just sustains, the Lord that stays of perfectness, their heritage remains. They shall not be ashamed in the time of evil see. And when the days of famine come, they satisfied shall be. Wicked men shall hold his folks, like meadow flowers are they, and they shall vanish as the smoke, and they all shall fade away. The wicked borrows from his death, he never does repay. Whereas the righteous gracious is, and freely gives away. For those who have been blessed by him, inherit shall the land. And those who have been cursed by him, that all shall no more stand.
Page 38.
I hid not in my heart your truth and saving vows, your faithfulness I preached in the assembly praise. You are withhold from me your tender mercies, Lord, and your unfailing love will ever keep me safe. Misfortunes beyond count have taken hold of me. My sins close in on me so that I cannot see. In greater sum are they than hairs upon my head. So my heart fails in me, my courage fades away. Come to my rescue, Lord, over the case you made. Let all who seek my life be shamed and be confused. But they fall back in shame, who wants to see my hurt.
let them be young and cheer our hearts and knees. Let all men who seek you be glad and in you joy. Through your salvation, love, send glory to the Lord. Though I may walk in poor, the Lord takes thought of me. My help, my Savior, come, oh, have me not delay.
About board of God's elect. The board of God's elect. Now we know that Jonah was a prophet. He was called to the Ninevites to preach. And of course, this was a great pagan city. And it was celebrated for its magnificence and its corruption. At that time, it was probably the leading city of the Gentile world. And we know the story about how Jonah fled from God and how he cast over the ship, swallowed by a whale, spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of this big fish. God vomited him up, and he went down to Nineveh, and he preached that the city would be destroyed, and the leader there proclaimed a fast, and they repented, and so God did not destroy Nineveh, and it made Jonah very, very upset. And sometimes when God doesn't do what we want, we get really upset. Sometimes when we pray a certain way and God answers our prayers in a way that we don't like it either. And of course, the fact that they turn from their evil ways, God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, ticked Jonah off. He looked at it like it destroyed his credibility as a prophet. If he had told him he was going to destroy him, God was going to destroy him. And all of a sudden, now his credibility is at stake. So, Jonah was, it says in chapter 4, exceedingly displeased and was very angry. This prophet of God was exceedingly displeased and very angry. And he was so angry that he asked God to take his life from him. Chapter 4, therefore now, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Have you ever felt that way? I have. And you know, I think that if you're an elect child of God, say you've never felt that way, you're lying through your teeth. We always felt like sometimes it would be better if God just took our lives. It would be better for us to be dead than alive. Well, then Jonah went out and had a pity party. We all go through our little pity parties, feeling sorry for ourselves. Poor little old me. Why did God do this to me? Verse 5, Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. Tell me there were only telephone booths in the 60s and 70s? Well, here was some booth back here. In the Old Testament, Jonah made him a booth to sit in, and a shadow so he might see what would become of the city. And God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow of his head to deliver him from his grief. Well, that gave Jonah something to be glad about, because it was hot. It would have been like, you know, being out in Phoenix in the middle of August. Lord came up over Jonah. And, you know, this gourd, while it was up over Jonah's head, was like an umbrella sheltering from the terrible heat that was going on. So the Lord decided that he was going to put Jonah through another test. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and smoked the gourd, and then it withered. You ever had that happen? Just about the time you think you have the protecting, sheltering hand of God over you, God prepares some worms to come along and take away the shelter. And all of a sudden, you're out there in the cold, or you're out there in the heat, whatever, or the rain, or the snow, or whatever it is. Or the temptations or evils that God is, you know, in the book of Job, it said, Satan said, you can put a hedge around it. Take the hedge away. Well, this was the hedge God has prepared, this gourd, to protect Jonah from the heat of the sun. And it came to pass when the sun did arise, and God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. So God didn't just get rid of the gourd, he also brought this wind that would cause the sun to beat down on Jonah's head. He actually fainted. So much heat coming out of his fingers. Wished himself to die. He said, better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, dost thou well be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even at the death. You ever told God that? Yes, Lord, I do. I have a right to be angry. Yes, I know I've done that. Let's be honest. You know, there's a lot of people out there that deny they're ever angry at God. There's a lot of people out there that deny that they ever murmur against what's going on in their life, and they're lying through their teeth. David constantly took his concerns to God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made this grow, which came up in the night, perish not. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where are more than 64,000 people, persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? You know, sometimes I know Rosette and I have talked, and we ask ourselves the question, and Mark, why does God allow these people to continue on in their false doctrine and their Arminian doctrine and their Roman Catholic, whatever it is? Why doesn't he just, you know, kill them? Well, here's your answer right here. God says, should I kill 6,000 people that don't even know their right hand from their left hand? These people, a lot of these Arminians out here, are total deception. They're spiritually blind. They think that they can do something with their own good works. You know, if you go do a study in the book of Romans, it can be a little confusing for a person that's not a Christian. I mean, if you read the first four chapters of Romans, it looks like works to me. Thou art an excusable old man. But yet, when we get to the fifth chapter, we find that there's a big change that takes place. Big change takes place. Well, let's just look at that for a minute. You see, in Romans 1 through 5 through 4, Paul is, you know, talking about works. How that the invisible things of him are clearly seen. The creation of the world, how they are without excuse. They profess themselves to be wise, became fools, change the glory of God, glory of the incorruptible God in an image, and so on. And then in chapter 2, he talks about it being inexcusable. Who are thou that judgest? And then, chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. And, you know, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That's basically what God was telling Jonah about the Ninevites. Look, they don't know the right hand from the left. And then he makes it in about the middle part of the third chapter. He makes a big, big turnaround. He stops talking about works and switches over to faith. Verse 20, he says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law is the knowledge of sin. That's what happened there then. Jonah was preaching. He said, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, you're going to be destroyed. King, go up and repent and turn away from their sins. It says, verse 23, all of sin is come short of the glory of God. But for God's people, verse 23, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Are you trusting in the works? Are you trusting in the Lord to protect you from the ills of life? Are you trusting in God's grace? Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Chapter 4, verse 3, Abraham believed God and was counted on him for righteousness. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it didn't appear that Jonah had a lot of faith when here he was a prophet and he was coming against the providential hand of God in his life. Running from God to start with. God prepared a big fish. Then after God bombed him up on dry ground, when he went down and preached the imminent destruction of Nineveh, God used his sermon to turn the people around. And Jonah got angry, exceedingly angry with God. And went out, got in a booth, had a little pity party, and it was so hot, God prepared a gourd to shield him from the sun, and Jonah kind of got in a little comfort zone. And the moment he got in the comfort zone, God prepared a worm to come in and destroy the gourd, and an east wind take the gourd away. That's what God does to all of us people. There's a song that the Reformed people sing, you know, He raised me up to bring me down. You know, why do people not understand that this is just the course of the events of the life of God's people? They go through mountains and valleys. They go down in the valley, and start back up the mountaintop, and bam, they're right back in the valley. God can bring us through valleys. Sometimes we don't believe it. You know. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, that's a good thing. A lot of times we do fear the evil. Thy rod and thy staff may comfort me. Sometimes God takes away the comfort. Sometimes He has worms prepared destroy the gourds over our head. That's the truth. That's reality. And people don't want to hear it. people want to hear smooth things. They don't like it when you start telling the truth. The full truth. You know, they just want to hear partial truth. They don't want to hear the they don't want to hear the fact that sometimes God allows us to go through these things. Sometimes God even prepares things to cause these things to happen. Book of Amos, it says, is there not evil in the city if the Lord hasn't done it? Well, sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves that when we go through these things, we should be seeking God for mercy. Why do the heathen rage? People imagine a vain thing. What's the vain thing? The vain thing is people say, well, God would never do that. God would never allow tsunamis or cause tsunamis. God would never bring tornadoes. God would never... Well, he does. Say, well, you're just blaming God. No, I'm not blaming God. I may not like the fact of what I'm going through, but God's the one who's in charge. I may not like the fact of the experiences that God has chosen for me in my life. I may not like it at all. In fact, my flesh may rebel against it just like Jonas did. But you know what? I will not deny that God's in control and sovereign over you. 45th chapter of Isaiah says, verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun to the west, there's none beside me, I'm the Lord, there's none else. I form the light, create darkness, I make peace, and create evil, I, the Lord, do all these things. How many messages have I heard people trying to explain that away? I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. You know, when we look around and see that there, if we look at the realities around us, we have to be honest and say the world is not a fair place. It's not fair. So are you trying to make God unjust? Are you trying to say he's not, he's a respecter of persons and so on? I'm saying that I'm into reality. The fact that he used Jonah as a prophet, sent him off to Nineveh, prepared a big fish for him. Jonah had to go through some things that other people didn't have to go through. Sometimes people that are used by God go through a lot more than people that aren't used by God. I'm sorry to tell you that. A lot of people have it just the opposite of health and wealth and prosperity gospel mode. If you're going through something, you must be under God's judgment or something. Jeremiah was treated like dirt. In fact, he was thrown into a pit. They tried to kill him and everything else. He didn't necessarily like being down in a mud hole. Paul didn't like being stoned. They left him for dead. You think Paul enjoyed being stoned? Now, see, well, why are you talking about this? Well, because if you're upset over the fact that God has destroyed your gourd, I'm sorry. I know I've been upset when God's destroyed my gourd. I haven't liked it at all. I don't like extreme heat, and I don't like extreme cold. I like it right in the middle. Who doesn't like comfort? Who doesn't like just going through life without any major problems, just kind of coasting through life? But that's not what the Bible says is going to happen to God's elect. God's going to make you feel a little bit of comfort, then he's going to snatch it away from you. Well, are you trying to make God out of retirement? I'm not trying to make God anything other than what he is. That's what he does to his people. That's what he's shown all the way. My goodness, if you don't believe me, pick up Fox's Book of Martyrs and read. And then tell me that God does not allow his people to go through suffering and persecution and all kinds of stuff. Tell me that after reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. You say, well, you try to make God out as person that's vindictive. No. I'm not trying to make God out of anything. But let's look at the apostles. Every one of the apostles was martyred, except for John, who was boiled in oil. How would you like that little trip? Being boiled in oil. So anyway, the reason that I'm going over this today is just to remind people that you're upset over God taking your sword away, taking your hedge away from you, taking your shield and buckler away from you, taking your protection over away from you, taking your job, taking your money, taking your health, taking your family, taking your comfort zone away from you. I can understand it. I can understand it. Jonah was mad. David was upset with God. How long? You don't believe that David ever got upset with God? How are my enemies increased against me? You don't think that Jeremiah got upset with God? You don't think that Isaiah got upset with God when he said to God, how long do I have to keep telling these people? Who hath believed our report, and who hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? How long do I have to keep doing this? Moses got upset with God. Why did you have to call me to do this? These rebellious people come against you, and I have to go out here and be their spokesman and go to Pharaoh and tell him all that. I don't want to do this anymore. And, of course, I could go on and on. I mean, the Bible is replete with examples, full of examples of people that got upset over God over the fact that he was making them go through these things. Well, sorry if you were looking for something else. I'm not here to say that God isn't with us during the times of trouble. He was with Jonah during the whole time. He was when he destroyed his gourd, he was with Jonah. But you know, Jonah still got mad. Exceedingly angry about it. And of course, it's okay to plead to God for mercy and ask him to come against the wicked people that are coming against you and so on, but also we must realize that God is sovereign over evil and that he is the one that brought the east wind to beat down on Jonah's head, that he brought the worm to destroy the gourd that protected Jonah. God's the one that did it. How many messages have you heard about every one of God's elect has a gourd that's been destroyed by God. Every one of God's elect has a gourd that's been destroyed by God. God, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Though, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and the trouble through the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God's the one that drew the gourd to start with. He realized for some reason that Jonah needed some temporary protection. People often say, well, you know, the Lord knows. He's not going to put more on you than you can stand. Have you ever felt like God's put more on you than you can stand? I have. But I'm still standing. Sometimes people pray that God will deliver them from their enemies, and what they don't realize is that God is the one that brought their enemies against them. We need to be pleading for God's mercy on us, because God can bring down the enemy anytime he wants to. Psalm 77 says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear into my ear. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. That's Paul. I mean, David talks. David says, I complained, my spirit was overwhelmed, and my soul refused to be comforted. I have been there, friend. And David said, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Have you ever felt that way? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've had days when I thought, it's over. It's over. Hath God forgotten? Verse 8 and 9. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. It's easy for us to look at the times when our gourd is destroyed. It's easy for us to dwell on the fact that the gourd's been destroyed. We forget about all the blessings. We forget about all the good things God's done to us down through our lives, how he's restrained evil from us, how he's brought the evil people down around us, how he's protected us in the past. And now the gourd's been destroyed, we're upset and angry. We're telling God to pour out his wrath on the heathen. And just like me, God is pouring out his wrath on us. Well, anyway, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Is that, you know, has your gourd been destroyed by God? And if it has, then my exhortation to you and myself, seek the face of God in his mercy. We have a selection. Page 53, Psalm prayer. Oh, listen, Lord, and let my cry for help reach you. In day of grief, hide not your face. Your listening ear for me, O man. The day I call, your answer send. For all my days, your life is come. And like a harp, my bones are burned. Like grass, my heart, destruction dries. I daily fear for God to bring my skin and bones together. With eyes and groans, my frame resounds. I'm like a desert pelican, or like an owl in ruined waste. I lie awake and on the grave. A sparrow stands alone, and I live. All day my foes, their thoughts repeat. They're filled with anger, curse my name. I through the tears and anxiousness. For you on me in anger frown, you raise me up to draw me down. An evening shadow on my days, like grass I wish in the way. But you, Jehovah, sit and grow, forever your memorial abides with generations all.
Dear Lord, love the message you've given us. We pray we love you, always love, amen.
Dear Lord, help us realize you really love us. Hear us, Lord.